The Coffee Break Liberty Podcast, Episode 54. Hello and welcome back everybody to the Coffee Break Liberty Podcast with me, your host, Leo Sowers. We're doing an emergency broadcast, and I'm a little late on getting it recorded, but that's okay. We're going to get it done, and we're going to get to the two topics I wanted to talk about. But first, as always, I want to tell y'all about the store at coffeebreakliberty.com. If you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, which you should, in the upper portion of the page, there is a tab named Store. Go click on it, and when you click on it, you're going to see mugs, laptop cases, phone cases, t-shirts, a whole bunch of stuff with the Coffee Break Liberty logo on them and other libertarian-esque and anarchist type symbology and quotes and things like that. And you're gonna your little libertarian, liberty loving, freedom fighting heart or anarchist heart is gonna be filled with so much joy at what you can drink your next coffee out of. So once again, that is at coffeebreakliberty.com. In the upper portion of the page, there's that store tab. But when you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, I want you to wait around for about 15 seconds, I think it is, and you'll get hit with a prompt to sign up for the newsletter. And I'm telling you, sign up for that newsletter. Sign up, because I'm not going to send you a newsletter. And what you are going to get right then and there, you're going to get a discount code for 10% off of your first order at the coffeebreakliberty.com store. So once again, go to coffeebreakliberty.com, click on that store tab, and get yourself a mug. All right, folks, you know, there's been a lot going on in the news lately, so I wanted to comment on it. You know, the government is in full swing of embarrassing themselves and looking like fools, which is, you know, one thing they're always good at. And these two stories are interrelated, which is good. It's not always the case. So the first thing is Texas being ordered by, well, not ordered, hold on. A lot of people are saying that the Supreme Court has ruled. They do not rule. They give opinions. Read the Constitution. Nobody seems to do that, but that's okay. So Texas, the Texas government, was having a little tiff, if you will, and they were securing the border essentially themselves down in Eagle Pass most recently, you know, using barbed wire and things like that and razor wire. And then federal agents were coming in and removing the razor wire and letting undocumented illegal immigrants, whatever terminology you want to use, across the border. Texas was ordered by the federal government to stop what they were doing. Texas refused. Then somehow that went up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said no. They gave an opinion, said their opinion was that no, Texas had to remove their barricades, and the federal government, blah, 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 you know, whatever. It was very strange. I couldn't even tell you what's going on there now. I will say this, with the opinion that was given down by the Supreme Court that kind of gives the backing for the Border Patrol to remove the razor wire and things like that if they want to. Doesn't sound like it's going according to as many people would thought, you know, with them coming in and removing all of it. It sounds like they're removing some of it. But it's becoming kind of a showdown. And really, I think Texas has the upper hand. You know, they can really cross the Rubicon, right? They're playing it safe right now, and they don't want to cross the Rubicon, but I think that they can. And the Rubicon would be, in my opinion, Texas sheriffs start arresting federal agents for violations of the Constitution. So in most states, not every state, but most states your county sheriff is actually supposed to uphold the U.S. Constitution, which is kind of strange, right? They're not federal agents. They're state and county agents. But it is their duty in most states, like I said, not all states, I've learned. I think in Washington, it's the state constitution they're supposed to. I could have that wrong. Maybe it's, but there, it's one of those three on the West Coast, if I'm not mistaken. Anyways, so they're supposed to uphold the U.S. Constitution or the state constitution. That's pretty much what it boils down to. And that gives them really the leeway to start deputizing and arresting, well, you know, deputizing civilians if they want, or people, right, or posses, whatever, what have you, and then, you know, arresting federal agents that, or anybody, doesn't have to be federal agents, but anybody that they feel is in violation of the U.S. Constitution. Now it gets a little murky, right, because then, okay, who's going to charge these guys? You know, you can't just arrest people. You have to charge them with a crime and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it would be a very tough battle, a tough legal battle. But if you had the right lawyers if you had the lawyers with the gusto, right, the cojones, if you will, you know, we're talking about border policy on the southern border, to do that, if you had the right attorneys, you know, they could fight this very well. Because I think the Border Patrol, the way they are acting, the way they are being directed to act, it's the way they're acting. I don't get this. I see it all the time. I'm seeing it lately in this small town that I live in. You know, it's rural America, so you have a bunch of people that like the taste of leather. The Border Patrol, in the way they are acting, they are not upholding their oath. So that's one thing, right? But that you can't really say, well, you're not upholding your oath, so you're in violation of the Constitution. But they are not upholding their oath because they are violating the Constitution. Okay, so Border Patrol falls under the CBP, Customs and Border Protection. Customs and Border Protection falls under DHS. The DHS is part of the executive branch. That's why President Biden has so much say in what they do. But they also have a duty, right? They are supposed to execute the laws. That's what they're supposed to do. So that's the way this whole system is supposed to work, right? We all learn about the three branches of government, but nobody really talks about what the executive is supposed to do. They just say, oh, it's the president. Okay, well, the president is supposed to, they're the executive. They're supposed to execute the laws. They're supposed to flesh them out. You know, they're supposed to use the laws, enforce the laws at the federal level. That's what they're supposed to do. It is then, you know, up to Congress, right, with the House of Representatives and the Senate, to make the laws. And then it is up to the Supreme Court, and this is where it gets really goofy, and you're like, well, this was a failed system from the start. But it is up to the Supreme Court to give an opinion if some laws are, you know, constitutional or unconstitutional, or some actions taken by the executive are constitutional or unconstitutional, things like that. That's where, that's a different conversation really entirely, but that, you know, that kind of shows the flaw in the system. Why would you ask the federal government, these snakes, these rattlesnakes, if what they're doing is constitutional or not? That's not the way anybody would design a system that's supposed to have checks and balances, right? But that's a different conversation for a different time. So, I think you could, if you were a sheriff in Texas, say, hey, you are not executing the laws. You are in violation of the Constitution. And now that they are actually admitting, you know, like what's going on down there is a lot of Border Patrol are pretty much admitting and letting, you know, they're not trying to stop illegal immigration. They're just getting them when they show up and then sending them off to a center and that's it. They're not trying to stop any of it. They're just there grabbing people and sending them on their way. And I think you could make the argument justly that they're not protecting the border at all. They're just, you know, they're the revolving door. They're the turnstile. They're not doing anything. So they are in violation of law, right? Of, you know, so the Congress is allowed to make law on immigration. The executive is supposed to enforce it. The executive is not upholding their constitutional oath. They are in violation of their constitutional duties. I think you could really make that argument. Somebody would say, well, that's a stretch. And I get it. I get it. It would be pretty much a waste of time. But the argument, I think, is there. And I think it's a valid one if you wanted to make it. So Texas has taken it upon themselves, Governor Abbott, to protect the Texas border with DPS, That's pretty much highway patrol, state park agents, National Guard, and Texas State Guard. I looked it up the other day. The Texas State Guard is pretty small. It's like 1,600 people. The National Guard is much larger. DPS has got several hundred people down there. State parks as well. When I worked down there several years ago, Border Patrol was still kind of the tip of the spear, if you will. They were the ones that could do the arresting. It was the National Guard and the other organizations that just helped. They helped with processing. They helped with driving. They helped with security, but they were not allowed to arrest. Now, I think that has changed. I think they have been given authority to, I know they've been given authority to interdict and grab people and grab drugs. Because the state, at least, is reporting that tens of thousands of arrests have been made since they have started sending their people down there under this, what they call Operation Lone Star. Got to give it a good name. So under Operation Lone Star, there have been tens of thousands of arrests, lots of drugs seized, thousands of weapons seized. I'm just going off of what the state says, so bear with me. It may be less, but they're trying to prop up the success, or lack thereof, of their Operation Lone Star. But it's become a constitutional, it could be. I mean, like I said, they're kind of, they went to the Supreme Court. They said that the federal government has the, so what the state was saying, what Governor Abbott was saying, and the state was saying, no, the federal government is destroying state property and they don't have a right to do that. The Supreme Court gave the opinion that they do, because it is in kind of an immigration type situation, and but that's the thing, they're not enforcing immigration law. I guess you could say that they are, because the immigration law doesn't say you have to stop people at the border. But it's kind of come to that. There's a lot of governors that are coming out vocally in supporting them, and supporting Texas, that is. I've not heard any governor really on the other side support the federal government. Maybe Gavin Newsom, but golly, that guy. He's a lunatic. So we won't talk about him too much. And then you also have several other states that have sent some of their own National Guard, some of their own state guard down to help Texas in this Operation Lone Star. I don't know if any have given money, but I guess if you're giving resources in a way, you're at least spending money. Maybe you're not giving money directly. So we'll kind of see where this goes. It's gotten to the Supreme Court once with the razor wire situation. I think really, though, the next step, if they really want to cross the Rubicon, and I think that they should, but they need to be prepared. Don't do it on a whim. Be prepared to do it. Is start arresting federal agents. Because I think you could also make the case that federal agents are now aiding and abetting, you know, people crossing the border illegally, right? People entering the country illegally. I think that case could be made, and it wouldn't be a hard one to make. And if you fight it out in state court, you know what's going to happen in a Texas state court. They're going to rule on the side of Texas at the drop of a hat. And you're going to have, you know, these federal agents charged with crimes in these states. They'll lose their badge. They'll lose their, depending on the severity of the punishment, they may go to jail. They'll be fined at least. You know, I don't know if it's a felony offense. I think that it is, though. This could be if Texas really wanted to cross the Rubicon, and I think that they should, but they need to be prepared to do it. And they kind of need to let everybody else know that they're going down this road, because it can get spicy quick. You know, if Abbott is going to do this, other governors need to know. I don't know if Abbott's going to do it. I don't know if these sheriffs are going to do it. That's one thing, too. The sheriffs could act outside of Governor Abbott and just take it upon themselves. They'll be the lightning rod of every attack piece and smear piece there is, and a bunch of people that don't know how the U.S. Constitution works and what sheriffs are supposed to do will write stories about it and tell you that he's acting unconstitutionally. They will tell you that he's acting outside of the law, outside of his purview or hers. We'll see. Jury is still out on this, and the story is still developing. But I wanted to comment on it and kind of tell you, you know, what is supposed to happen. I think, you know, a lot of the listeners of this show do know how government is supposed to work, but it is often a good reminder of what the executive is actually supposed to do, what is their duty to do. Right? So the Congress as well, they could hold the executive accountable. They could sue the executive in the courts saying, hey, they are not upholding their constitutional duty. They are in violation of the Constitution because they are not fulfilling their duty, right? There are certain things that, you know, as a congressman, you're supposed to do, as the president, you're supposed to do. There are certain things you are required to do. And I think you could really make that argument, but nobody has the political will because, like I said, rattlesnakes don't bite each other, right? Nobody has the political will to do it because eventually their guy, their buddy will be in the hot seat and they don't want that person to get sued. That's why nobody is suing these presidents over, you know, these illegal war acts that they're doing, which I could also talk about as well, but not in this episode. I've talked about that a lot in previous episodes. But the next thing I wanted to talk about, because this just came out today, I'm recording this on Monday. I was supposed to record earlier, but the next thing I wanted to talk about was the bipartisan new aid package that they're calling the border security package. Okay? It is in the Senate. I don't know if it's passed the Senate. It still has to go to the House. You know, whatever. We'll see what happens. Right now, this is Monday that I'm recording this, the 5th of February. It is at $118 billion, which is crazy to say that that's not a lot of money. That's about 0.4% of the federal budget every year. That's insane to say, isn't it? $118 billion is about 0.4% of the federal budget every year. But this new aid package, $118 billion, $60 billion of it, and it's called like the border security package or something. $60 billion of it goes to Ukraine. That's not the border anybody thought they were talking about, I bet. Because $20 billion of it goes to the U.S. border. And I'm being a little generous to Ukraine, and I'm stretching it a little bit for the U.S. border. There's other monies that are going to the Ukraine, to the conflict over there by other means. So it's closer to about $63, $64 billion. And then there's another $10 billion or so that is going to Israel. So yeah, $70 plus billion of this, you know, $118 billion is going towards wars in other countries. And $20 billion, allegedly, after it gets washed through everybody's hands, but $20 billion is going towards border security. There's also some other things in this bill talking about shutting down the border and giving the executive the power to do that. See, one of the things that this bill would do is that if what they're talking about anyways, we'll see if it changes, if the number changes or they get rid of it entirely. But if there are 5,000 apprehensions in a day or a week, one of those timelines, I don't recall which, but if there are 5,000 apprehensions in a day or a week, I forgot what the timeline is, then the executive has the authority to shut down the border. Well, just because they have the authority to shut down the border doesn't mean they will. Right now, the executive is telling the Border Patrol agents to remove razor wire and let them on in. So giving the executive this power, which the executive, I would say, actually has already, but now it's explicit. But I think you could argue that the executive really already had the authority to do that because it is their job to enforce immigration law. It's just, you know, how far do you want to enforce it? So that's something that's going to be in this bill so far. Like I said, it's still being butchered. I think it was 4,300 additional asylum agents. So agents that, agents may not be the right term, but processors, right? They're going to process people that are seeking asylum. 4,300 additional asylum processors are slated for the bill. And this new authority that I think the executive kind of already had, but now this lays it out. Like, nobody can challenge the executive on this. You could say, no, it's a law. They are allowed to do this. They're acting within the law. But yeah, that's the border bill. The country is running an over $1 trillion deficit a year. The country does not have this money. The federal government doesn't have this money. So it has to print it. So it's going to print this money. You know, another $60 billion to Ukraine and $20 billion to the border. Once again, the American people are harmed. Kind of in both ways, right? Giving the government more power, hiring more federal agents, you know, so you're going to hire 4,300 more people. Well, those jobs ain't going to go away. Those jobs are good forever now. So now that's just more people on the government teat, right? They're just sucking off the government forever now. That's another continuous tax, if you will. It's another continuous expenditure that the taxpayer is going to have to pay for. So either, yeah, the money's going to have to be taxed from us, which it won't. They'll just print it. They'll just print the money, which is what they love to do. They all love to do it. And then they just blame the other guy. You know, they blame the other side. Well, they printed more money. Yeah, okay, that was last time, but now you're printing more. You know, whatever. They just keep printing more money. That's what they love to do. So, yes, 118. We'll just round it up to 120. Because by the time this gets through the Senate entirely and then through the House, if it passes, this will probably be closer to $200 billion. I would be shocked if it wasn't. I know it's gonna be closer to $200 billion. There's no way stuff is not gonna get added onto this bill. I think it will be very close to $200 billion, though. I would say probably within, I don't know, maybe $10 billion. At least. Because you know people are gonna throw their little packages on there, their little tidbits on there. It's like, well, this is a great time to get that federal stoplight, federally funded stoplight in my town. Let me throw that in there for $4 million, and it's a stoplight, something that a stop sign could do. So I just want to make you guys aware of kind of what's going on if you're not tracking, and I didn't give a lot of opinion on it, but, you know, we went over what the federal government is supposed to do, what the executive is supposed to do, and I've mentioned it plenty of times before on here, but it bears repeating about what the Supreme Court does. The Supreme Court does not give rulings. They do not create laws. They render opinions. And it's very important that we understand that. It's very important that you understand that, and then you can articulate it to people. Now, I promise you will articulate it to people, and they will call you a liar. I have been told by several. And then you just say, well, go read the Constitution. Does the Constitution give them the power to give a judgment, to create law? And they say, well, no. It's a pet peeve of mine. It probably shouldn't be, but it just is. So where's the bright side, right? I try to always look at the bright side of this. More people are talking about this than I've ever seen before. Maybe I'm creating a better echo chamber, but I think really more people are talking about this kind of stuff right now than ever before. You have Texas and a lot of governors. Not that Texas is perfect by any means, but you have Texas and a lot of other governors, a lot of, you know, the middle America governors saying, no, we stand with Texas with this. This is Texas protecting itself. I will not say that this is going to lead to secession. I don't think this is going to be the thing that kicks it off. But it's little things like this. It's little, you know, testing the water, poking sticks at the fence, right? Trying to find the weak spot, trying to find out who's going to blink first. The need for a national divorce is now talked about in Congress. often. Sadly, we don't have the best representative for it. It's Major Taylor Greene or whatever her name is. She's not the best representative for it, but it is talked about. It is brought up in Congress often. There are now groups in California that are talking about it more. They've talked about making their own state, you know, the state of Jefferson, which was going to be kind of Southern Oregon and Northern California. Now, the State of Jefferson Project is still out there, but a lot of them now have gone towards secession. They want to break away from the Union. And we're hearing it more on the left, surprisingly. When things like this happen, we hear about it mostly from, I guess you would say, the right. But we're hearing about it more and more from the left. The left also, not all of them, but far too many of them, showed their rear ends and literally advocated. And I brought this up. I mentioned this, gosh, 18 months ago? I brought this up. Maybe it was longer than that. President Biden was giving a speech about how, if you've been here long enough, you know this is not a MAGA Republican show at all. We don't vote Republican here, if we vote at all. But he was bringing it up in a speech how MAGA Republicans need to be punished by federal law enforcement. He brought this up in a speech months ago. This is over a year ago. And the crowds cheered. They went with it. They thought it was a great idea. And what did we see in these last couple weeks on Twitter? People advocating for the federal government to storm in to Texas and do something about this. Do something about this rebellious action. Now, I don't want there to be a breakout of violence, but there is one side that is prepared for this, and there's one side that doesn't even know what gender they are. There's one side that has been learning how to hunt and live off the land since they were a child, and then the other side that has a panic attack and can't go to work and can't function for the rest of the day because somebody misgendered them at the coffee shop. How do these people think it will go? These people that are calling for violence, calling for the federal government to do something about it. First of all, there's a lot of federal troops that would not follow that order. There's a lot that would. Don't get me wrong. There's a lot that would, but there's a lot that would not as well. I just don't understand who these people think is on, the, you know, like, who, what are they going to do about it? But then again, trying to leave on a more positive note, it's not going to come to that. Because we're going to win this in the revolution of thought. And we're winning it every day. People talk about this more. People read up on it more. You come to this show and you learn more about the Constitution. Now, I will always say, too, constitutions are useless. But it is important to understand what is in the Constitution. So when somebody talks about it, you actually know what you're talking about if you're going to have that discussion. And then you can bring up how constitutions are useless. As Lysander Spooner, and I'm going to mess up the quote now, but if constitutions were functional, we wouldn't have the government that we have. Or they're functioning just as intended, and we have the government we deserve. I just kind of paraphrased the quote. I changed it a little bit. But we're going to win this. All right, guys, that's going to wrap it up for this week. And before I get out of here, I want to remind you of the affiliate program that I am, well, affiliated with. So if you go to coffeebreakliberty.com, in the upper portion of the page next to the store tab, there is an affiliate tab. And there you will find my affiliate link with Bluehost. Bluehost is the hosting company that hosts this website and podcast. And they do a great job. A great job. I have had them for, gosh, how many years now? 6 years. 6 years I've been with them. Well, it will be 6 years come August. And they have been really, they've just been on top of it. They have been great. No, it won't be 6 years come August. It will be 8 years come August. Oh my gosh. This has been around almost 8 years, guys. But they've just been awesome. They've been a huge help whenever I need help. They do a great job. They offer a great service at a great price. And if you use my affiliate link, you are going to get a discounted price, and then you're going to get what I call the Leo Sours deal. You're going to get the Coffee Break Liberty deal. Workshop on the name. What does that mean? When you use my link and start your own website, you're going to get a plug here on the podcast, all the social medias. So that's going to be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You're going to reach thousands of people right away with your new website when you use my affiliate link at coffeebreakliberty.com. That's with Bluehost. So once again, go to coffeebreakliberty.com and you should be getting a website. I'm telling you, get a website, get a website, get a website. And then use my affiliate link to get, like I said, a great price and that free publicity. Free. I'm not going to charge you anything for it. And before I sign off, I want to remind you guys, too, that the way this show grows is by listening, sharing the show, telling a friend. So we are on Apple and Spotify. And I think for the time being, we are still on Google Podcasts. Still not sure exactly what's going on with that, but I think we are still on Google Podcasts or the Play Store or whatever. So check us out there. Share the show with a friend. And until next time, take care.